Hello, and you are listening to Eco Justice Radio from the 90.7 KPFK studios in Los Angeles, California. Our show is brought to you by SoCal 350 Climate Action, presenting environmental and climate stories from a social justice frame featuring voices not necessarily heard on traditional, mainstream, or even public media outlets. I am your host, Jessica Aldridge, and today I will be speaking with Annalisa Arrett Moe from Heal the Bay and Miguel Ramos with the Nature Conservancy. Annalisa Arrett Moe is a water quality scientist with Heal the Bay. She received her BS in Earth Science from U.S. Santa Cruz and an MS in Geology from CSU Northridge. She worked at the Central Valley and Los Angeles Regional Water Quality Board offices for 2 years before joining the team at Heal the Bay, where she now helps to keep LA water clean and safe by advocating for comprehensive and science-based water quality regulation. Miguel Ramos completed his master's in urban and regional planning from California State Polytechnic University, Pomona, and holds a bachelor's degree in sociology with a focus on equity and diversity from California State University, Los Angeles. As the External Affairs Outreach Coordinator for the Nature Conservancy, he builds relationships and engages with the community organizations and elected officials across Southern California to influence public policy that advances urban conservation, community engagement, nature-based projects, and equity in the region. Welcome, listeners. This is Eco Justice Radio. On today's show, we are discussing how LA is shaping a strong water future through water quality, equity, and nature-based solutions. Water is life. Clean, safe, reliable, affordable, and the future security of water is non-negotiable. Los Angeles, California currently imports a whopping 70% of their water, and getting that water to Los Angeles is the largest use of electricity in the state of California. When water is not captured and utilized within the system, it traverses through the city and out to the ocean. In order to shape a strong water future, we must manage the flow in a way that ensures high quality, social equity, and solutions based in nature. It is my pleasure to welcome in the studio Annalisa Moe, water quality scientist with Heal the Bay, and Miguel Ramos, external affairs outreach coordinator with the Nature Conservancy. Welcome both to the studio.
Hi, thank you for having us.
Thanks.
Of course. I've been wanting to talk about water again for a while, so it's going to be an interesting show. Let's start with Annalisa. Tell us about Heal the Bay and their water-based campaigns and programs.
Yeah, so Heal the Bay is an environmental nonprofit based out in Santa Monica, California, and we've been around for about 30 years now. We use science education, advocacy, and community action to keep waters of greater LA safe, healthy, and clean. And our vision includes having thriving oceans, healthy watersheds, and sustainable water practices. Much of our work focuses on human health, particularly when it comes to recreating in our waters. We're probably best known for our beach cleanups, where we go and pick up trash off of our beaches before it enters the ocean, and also for our beach report card. For the beach report card, we analyze bacteria levels at beaches all over the West Coast, even up through Oregon and Washington, and assign grades of A through F so that people can really easily understand where and when it's safe to enter the water. If you have a grade of A or B, it's safe. Below that, you start to have increased risk of gastrointestinal illnesses if you come in contact with that water. We're also starting to move inland. Water is connected, so any issues that are inland in our watersheds eventually make it out to the ocean. And so we have brought those inland as well. So we're doing river cleanups and a river report card as well. For myself, I specifically focus on stormwater. I work very closely with the regional board as they are renewing their MS4 permit, which is a stormwater permit that allows the regional board to regulate discharges through the stormwater system here in LA. So we've been working very hard to make sure that that permit is strong when it is renewed in the next year. And then also working really hard with the Our Water LA Coalition to implement Measure W, or the Safe Clean Water Program, so that we can capture stormwater, clean it, and reuse it.
Miguel, what is the Nature Conservancy and what is their role in securing that strong water future?
Mm-hmm. So the Nature Conservancy is a global organization that protects land and water across the world. We do work across 50 states here in the United States, and we're located in 72 countries across the world. So here in California, we've protected over 1.5 million acres of landscapes and 3.8 million acres of seafloor of our coast here in California. Most of our work is based off of the science aspect, and we also focus a lot of our attention around the policies that we can do to shift those levers to support nature.
And Annalise, can you briefly describe where Los Angeles gets its water before we even go into this long conversation about, like, how are we going to, you know, manage that water and sustain it and keep it in the community? Where are we getting it from in the first place, and where does it ultimately end up?
So we get our water from multiple different sources, but the majority of it is imported from a few different areas. One is from the Northern Sierras, from the California Aqueduct, from the Eastern Sierras through the Owens Valley, through the LA Aqueduct, and from the Colorado River as well. Each of these takes water away from other places that might need that water as well. And the pipes that convey that water are also vulnerable to natural disasters such as earthquakes. The California Aqueduct is also a huge use of energy in California as well. Other sources that are more local include groundwater, recycled water, and stormwater capture, which we do a little bit of right now. But none of these sources are being used to their full extent.
And it would be better, right, to try to keep that water local versus spending all this money and electricity to ship it from other places and taking their water from them to get it here to one of the largest cities in the nation and in the world.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And that water, almost all of it ends up in the ocean. Currently, our infrastructure is set up to get stormwater out of LA as quickly as possible. And that's because of flooding issues. And we view stormwater as this hazard. So we get it out to the ocean as soon as possible, which means that we're not using it. And all of the water that we do use gets sent to a wastewater treatment facility, gets treated, and then we reuse some of it. There are some instances where we might use it for irrigation, but a lot of it, again, goes back into our waterways and out to the ocean.
Yeah, I know. I have an office that I go to in Sun Valley, and when it rains, the rain can come all the way up to the car's tires, like up above the top of the car tire, because it's not washing into the system. So we don't even have that grade of that water capture in many places in what we call the valley here in Los Angeles. Why is that happening, and why is water capture and management a health equity and water access issue?
I can start with, you know, why we're still seeing flooding. You know, we do have this system that was built to get the water out of here, but that infrastructure is about 100 years old. And on top of that, LA is getting more and more paved every day as we continue to build things out. And if you have a paved area that's impermeable surface where water can no longer make it into the waterways naturally, and so it has to run through the streets, and it often gets stuck there because sometimes our storm drain system gets backed up. I can hand it over to Miguel from there.
Yeah, and to talk about the issue on health equity, you know, a big thing, especially in these communities, we see a lot of lack of park space and lack of open space that really are solutions about how we address stormwater and how the water actually could permeate back into groundwater. So a big piece of that is that a lot of these, you know, communities that are disadvantaged don't have access to park space or access to open space where the water could actually filter. So many times you do get flooding, you get stagnant water, and that comes along with diseases and viruses and bacteria that cause illnesses in people. So that's pretty much the reason why we always address the issue around, again, nature-based solutions, right? If we're creating more opportunities for people for that water to filter in before it reaches the ocean or the rivers, it creates a better environment for communities and biodiversity.
And it recharges that groundwater.
Exactly.
Miguel, the Nature Conservancy is focused on nature-based and multi-benefit solutions. And you just mentioned nature-based solutions. Mm-hmm. What does that entail? What is a nature-based solution? What is multi-benefit solutions?
Sure. That's a good question. So I'll give you an example. So there's a good example of a nature-based solution is actually one that was, it's called the South LA Wetlands. And what happens is that they created this this pretty much this wetlands where it also serves as a community park. And so what happens is that all that water that, you know, comes from runoff, from people's lawns, from people washing their cars, that it could end up at this spot and filters before it reaches out to the river. So again, when we talk about nature-based solutions, it's allowing for nature to filter the water, clean the air, and also provide public health benefits to the communities. So that's many of the benefits that we talk about when we talk about multiple benefits, right? But again, like I said, you know, a lot of these communities don't have access to open space or park space. So we're seeing that, you know, by creating opportunities to have nature in these places, that we're providing opportunities for communities to recreate as well.
And why, I think we can assume, like, why community park spaces and community areas are a good thing. But let's break that down. Like, why is it necessary, not just for the environment, but why is it necessary for the well-being of a community and a person to have park space, to have open space, to have trees and grass and everything that comes with that?
Yeah. I mean, another aspect is, you know, urban heat island, right? A lot of these communities, one, they don't have park space, but they also don't have trees in their community. So that is also another example of a nature-based solution, right? Just planting trees in itself, putting more native plants in these communities is a way to treat and infiltrate that stormwater or that, you know, water before it reaches our main rivers and our tributaries. So again, that is another aspect of, you know, bringing that issue about around equity, right? Access to you know, healthy, clean water, to park space. And
I'll just add that, like, there's a lot of evidence out there that having open space and nature in our lives is very good for mental health as well.
Yeah.
Not only, you know, personally going out there and experiencing nature, but also having a place to congregate with your friends and your family, you know, outside of a home, that place where you can come together and enjoy a birthday party or whatever might happen, or, you know, a family that might go out for a walk on a daily basis now in this new park area. So in addition to all the health benefits, there's also mental health benefits as well.
Yeah. If you are just tuning in, you are listening to EcoJustice Radio on 90.7 KPFK. Both the Nature Conservancy and Heal the Bay are part of this coalition that's called Our Water LA. What is the mission of Our Water LA?
Sure. So Our Water LA is a diverse coalition of community leaders and organizations ranging from labor, environmental justice, conservation, and water quality. And we work all across Los Angeles County, united to create a stronger water future for Los Angeles. And our goal is to secure clean, safe, affordable, and reliable water, whether that be drinking, for recreation, or commerce, now and for the future.
The coalition members of Our Water LA are working together to help shape the outreach and funding allocation around a recently passed measure that's called Measure W. What is Measure W, and why is it so important that the public actually take an interest in how this measure is implemented?
Sure. So Measure W was a local measure that passed here in LA County in November 2018, which is a parcel tax on impermeable surfaces here in Los Angeles County. And it passed with 67% in support. So there's a big need to address this issue around water quality and stormwater capture. And so Our Water LA Coalition has been working together to really inform community about what's happening, specifically about, you know, this is a tax measure, you know, funding that's going to be happening in perpetuity. So every year we're going to see $300 million invested into communities to address this issue around water quality and stormwater. So again, it's important for communities to know that, you know, this funding is accessible and that there are projects that are going to be coming down the pipeline to address these issues in their communities. And they should have a say as to how these projects look like and what type of benefits come along with those projects.
And Alisa, Measure W is also connected to what's called the MS4 permit. What is that and how are they related?
Yeah, so just for a little bit of context, MS4 stands for Municipal Separate Storm Sewer System. Other parts of the U.S. have a combined system, but Los Angeles actually has a separate system where our storm drain system is entirely separate from our sewage system. And that it's actually very useful during very big storms because it stops flooding from overflowing our sewage system, so it's a good thing. But it does mean that the stormwater gets into our waterways and into our ocean without being cleaned first. So the MS4 permit is a way to regulate discharge of stormwater pollution. So cities have to create and implement plans to address this stormwater pollution, but capturing and cleaning stormwater, it costs money. You have to implement projects. So for a long time, very little progress was being made under this MS4 permit, and that's where Measure W comes in. So we have a local, long-term, and consistent form of funding, just as Miguel mentioned.
Our Water LA Coalition members are advocating around what I think is three main points when it comes to Measure W implementation. That's equity, anti-displacement, and good jobs. Can you expand upon these as it relates to Measure W?
Yeah, and I could provide some clarification that where it's actually four different aspects. One of them is nature-based solutions. So really being able to address this issue about, you know, what type of nature that we want in our community. So we're really advocating for planting native species. Another thing is, you know, project proponents should be encouraged and required to take into account specific community needs in designing projects. So again, working with communities to know what are the issues locally in terms of stormwater capture and make sure the communities are participating and involved in that process. So another aspect is jobs. Making sure that there's good jobs that are coming out of this, that there's local and targeted hire project labor agreements for these projects, that there's dedicated workforce education funding. So it really allows for community members to know about these jobs and to, you know, kind of create a pipeline for them to access these jobs. Another aspect is the issue around equity. And within equity, we're seeing this issue around anti-displacement policy to address, you know, when, as we see, we start seeing investments in communities linked with increased housing prices, which again creates vulnerabilities for low-income communities and a threat of displacement. So again, around the issue around equity, clarify what type of benefits each communities are receiving when they get these projects. And then for the last piece is, you know, making sure that there's community engagement throughout the process, that community-based organizations should be consulted and conduct education and engagement for all these projects and at every level, and that there's some dedicated education funding on stormwater. So we're continuously educating communities about stormwater capture and what are the best solutions for their communities and how they could, you know, decide what they want to see in their community.
And how do they identify the communities that are in most need for this type of support and investment?
Sure. So there's a lot of different tools that have been created. So for one example, Measure A for the parks measure that passed, they developed a parks needs assessment, and which created a map of Valley County that showed all the communities that had a lack of park space. So that is one tool that can be used to address this issue of like understanding where there's gaps in terms of, you know, where communities need park space. Another tool is the Health Disadvantage Index. And that's a way for us to understand where there's communities that have not so great health conditions to, you know, talk about the public health issue. And there's also the CalEnviro screen, another tool used to see what communities are being exposed to environmental toxins and stuff like that.
I know that we have spoken on a few infrastructure and investments, you know, nature-based solutions. What other types of infrastructure and investment do we need in a big city like Los Angeles when it comes to securing that strong water future?
Los Angeles is a very big city, and we're also very spread out. So there's no one silver bullet type project that we can, you know, hit on that will capture everything that we need. So what we're really looking for is a large range of projects, including large regional projects that can capture runoff from a large area, and small distributed projects that can really focus in on areas where you have specific neighborhood flooding. So the large regional projects are like the South LA wetlands that Miguel talked about earlier, and actually the Sun Valley Park. Many people don't know there's an infiltration gallery under Sun Valley Park that it slows the water down and allows it to infiltrate naturally into the ground. And also with the small distributed projects, you can get green alleyways, green streets, and even residential retrofits, just like changing a yard to be a rain garden. And within both the large projects and the small projects, there's this mix of purely green infrastructure where you're just putting in, you know, soil and vegetation and letting nature do its thing. But there's another step of gray-green infrastructure where it's mimicking natural features, and maybe you have a natural feature there, but there's some man-made built part that is enhancing that natural feature. So that includes like a cistern that can help to store water to use it later, or dry wells that will inject water down to maybe a water table that's hundreds of feet below the ground surface. And different tools will be needed in different areas. For example, down in Southeast LA, there's a lot more clay in the soil, so natural infiltration is difficult. So you need those dry wells to really get the water down into the groundwater.
And just to add to, I think it's important also to collaborate with multiple partners and working with existing parks, working with schools and businesses. You know, these are already places that have the land, that have the land to work with. So it's important that we work with them to address these needs as well, you know, to address this issue.
Yeah. What is Our Water LA, along with your organizations, doing to ensure that, you know, we need that outreach to the community? We have to ensure that the outreach is actually getting out there and it's transparent and it's robust, you know, that the community can participate and that their voice is heard, because many times it says, okay, you have to have community input. Like some project happens, you have to have community input, and then they have four community meetings and they're at 3 p.m. when most people are at work, or they don't have night ones, but they have day ones, or vice versa. And no one knows about it. And it was in a little tiny ad in the newspaper. What are we doing to ensure that there is true, transparent engagement?
So one thing that we've been doing at Our Water LA is we've really been focusing on reaching out to non-traditional organizations. So reaching out to indigenous communities, reaching out to environmental justice communities, organizations, reaching out to local CBOs to inform them and educate them about this issue, trying to find opportunities to integrate this stormwater education into existing programs to really address, you know, start talking about this issue and making it part of our culture here in LA about how we, you know, understand the water and where it comes from, but also what can we do to, you know, protect it, save it, and treat it, and take care of it.
Yeah, and additionally, Our Water LA meets with the Flood Control District on a fairly regular basis. And one thing that they're actually as excited about as we are is really bringing in those community-based organizations to help with this outreach. Because a lot of times, if there's a community-based organization that already has that personal contact with the community and that the community trusts, if they're the ones telling them about an event, they're more likely to show up. And so we're really excited that the Flood Control District wants to involve CBOs as well, so that not only Our Water LA is doing outreach, but that the county is also informing these community-based organizations so that they can help with some of that outreach.
Mm-hmm. And once that outreach is done and once the money is distributed and the projects are agreed upon, what is the oversight structure that will exist so that it when it is being implemented, and does the community still get input along the way?
Yeah, so through the Safe Clean Water Program, there's various different committees, but I think one of the committees that is really important for community members to know is a Watershed Area Steering Committee, which is really an opportunity for community members to voice what type of projects they want to see in their community. So there's, under this Safe Clean Water Program, there's going to be 9 different watershed committees based on the nine different watersheds. And within these Watershed Area Steering Committees, there's going to be community stakeholders, agency stakeholders, and municipal representation. So it's important that community members know who is representing them and to voice out, you know, that they're in support of certain projects, right? And to understand this issue specifically around nature-based solutions, you know, that's something that we've been advocating over and over, but not a lot of people know about these projects, right? Or how to advocate for these projects. So a big thing is being able to engage these members. And another aspect too is there's going to be watershed coordinators that are overseeing all the committees or overseeing many of the projects. So it's important that community members engage the watershed coordinators as well, moving forward to, again, express their support of what type of projects they want to see.
And also, 40% of the funds actually go directly back to the cities, and they have much more flexibility on how they're going to spend that money. They don't have to run things by the steering committees like the regional funds do. So in that case, it's really attending your city council meetings. Our Water LA really sees this as a great opportunity for cities to set up a residential retrofit program so that people might have some funding that they can pull from to change some hardscape on their property to a rain garden or something like that. But that's a place where having community pressure and community input at those city council meetings is going to be really important.
A couple more questions before we wrap. We have so much to talk about, and I just want to keep going. Our listeners are not just from Los Angeles. They're from all over the nation. They're global. A strong water future is important to everyone. How is something like Measure W and the solutions that are kind of come out of Measure W, why is that important to the larger audience? How can that be something that can be replicated elsewhere?
Well, Los Angeles is not the first area to have a local stormwater funding measure, and I hope in the future to see many more cities create their own funding measures so that they can do some of these projects as well. But I really hope that Measure W can be an example for how to most effectively use that funding when creating these multi-benefit projects that we've been talking about, but also in how to engage your communities in beginning the process and in providing training and jobs for local workers. And we really want this to be kind of a framework of how multi-benefit projects are done in the future.
Yeah, and just to add, you know, again, just to hone in on the aspect of nature-based solutions, right? By creating these opportunities, and planting more vegetation, you're allowing for increased biodiversity. So that is another benefit that I think is something that we should all be considering in a global perspective, right? And really ensuring that Los Angeles becomes more climate change resilient by implementing these type of projects.
Before we wrap, I want the listeners to know where to get more information. Where do they find your organizations? How do they get involved in something like Our Water LA Coalition? Where do they find you on social media? All the good stuff.
Well, you can go to healthebay.org for our website, but there's also ourwaterla.org. And for that one, just so our listeners know, you can join as a coalition member. Anyone is welcome to join our coalition. And you can also go to the safecleanwaterla.org website, and that's the county's website about the measure.
Mm-hmm. And you can also follow us on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter at OurWaterLA. And in terms of the Nature Conservancy, you can stay updated with the work that we're doing here in California at nature.org /California, CA.
Thank you. Thank you to Annalisa Erit-Mo with Hill of the Bay and Miguel Ramos with the Nature Conservancy for being our guests today, and to our listeners for joining us. All the resources mentioned today will be available at socal350.org. You've been listening to EcoJustice Radio, brought to you by SoCal 350 and 90.7 KPFK. The show can be found on Apple Podcasts, SoundCloud, and at SoCal350.org. Created by Mark and JP Morris, executive producer Jack Eit, engineer Blake Lampkin, interview hosted by myself, Jessica Aldridge from Adventures in Waste, and original music by Javier Cadre. And until next time, remember, the power is yours.